Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. This is God's word. "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, 'We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God.' So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, 'This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us.' All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then the high priest asked him, 'Are these charges true?' To this he replied, 'Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still living in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. 'Leave your country and your people,' God said, 'and go to the land I will show you.' So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way, 'Your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves,' God said. 'And afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place.' Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt, but God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Then a famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our fathers could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our fathers died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for in his father's home. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him in and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now, come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. So he led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the desert. This is that Moses who told the Israelites, "God will send you a prophet like me from your own people." He was in the assembly in the desert with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, and he received living words to pass on to us. But our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and held a celebration in honor of what their hands had made. But God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. "Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of Molech and the star of your god, Rephan, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our forefathers had the tabernacle of the testimony with them in the desert. It had been made as God directed Moses according to the pattern he had seen. Having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me?' says the Lord. Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him, you who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it." When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
Where do we first meet Stephen? It's not here. It's just prior to this. He's introduced as one of the deacons. Remember, the widows who were of Greek culture were not being taken care of as well as the Hebraic widows. And so the apostles said, choose 7 men who are known to be filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and let them have this task of distributing the food to the widows, and we're going to devote ourselves to what God's called us to do. One of the 7 who was chosen, recognized by the church as being filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, was Stephen. And so Stephen is first introduced as a deacon in the church, a servant who devoted himself to logistical matters. It wasn't his job to grow the food. It wasn't even his job to collect the food. It was his job to make sure it was distributed equitably and that people had their needs being addressed by the local church. That was his job within the church. But even though that was his job within the church, it wasn't the only way in which God used him. He also, besides waiting tables, as the apostles would refer to it, besides waiting tables, besides being a deacon in the church, he also was one through whom God worked miracles. Did we get that right? Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. That's impressive. I mean, that's amazing. But shortly after he's introduced to us this way, he's dead. What happened? I would say if somebody comes along and God is working miracles through him, we want to keep that guy around, right? I mean, who'd want to mess with a guy through whom God is doing supernatural things? Well, I'll tell you who. Some people who were jealous. They were opposed to him because they were jealous of him. They were opposed to him because what he was saying was true, but it didn't reflect well on them. And we see a sample of that in his preaching here when he's dragged before the Sanhedrin and commanded to answer the charges against him, and the charges were totally bogus charges. But Stephen wasn't interested in defending himself. He was interested in proclaiming the message God had put on his heart. And so he gives these biblical scholars a history lesson that I would imagine some of them are saying, where is he going with this? Where is he going with this? He's telling us all this stuff. We know this stuff. And he walks them back from the start of the Jewish nation with Abraham, walks them back, and the punchline is, you're just like your forefathers. We've always been a mess. In other words, he's saying, I'm not accusing you of doing something different than the forefathers did. I'm accusing you of doing the same thing our forefathers did. Our forefathers have been a constant stream of unbelief and disobedience. And he walked them through that. They didn't exactly see where he was going till he got to the end. And at the end of his speech, he says, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. Remember the Disney film? I don't remember the name of it. It's one of the animated features in which the guy is doing bad stuff and suddenly says, oh no, I'm just like my mom. Okay? There are those moments in life where we realize, as Elijah did, I am no better than my ancestors. I've got the same sin problem that mom and dad had, and my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Stephen was talking about. This is not a new thing. Moses was rejected. Now get his outline here. Moses was rejected, and yet Moses came back as the deliverer. In other words, whether or not the people reject him doesn't determine whether or not he's God's chosen deliverer. The people rejected him. He spent 40 years away. He comes back again. God uses him to deliver. And they reject him all over again. Okay? Because the problem is not an educational problem. The problem is not an IQ problem. Well, if we just had more intelligent people. The problem is a heart problem. They are hostile toward God. And so when God sends them a deliverer, they reject him. And reject him. And reject him. And Moses told them, God's going to raise up for you a deliverer like me. And you need to listen to him. And Stephen says, so what did you do? You killed all the prophets who told you he was coming, and then when he came, you killed him. You are a bunch of stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You've betrayed and murdered the righteous one. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. It's not enough to know what the Bible says. It's not enough to have a copy in your pocket. Our problem is we don't obey it. The amazing, amazing thing is that God would send his son to die for us so that we could be forgiven, declared righteous in his sight. And so these guys, when they hear the diagnosis, when they hear the judgment against themselves, their response is to put their hands over their ears. I mean, you got to picture this. These are a bunch of grown-ups. They put their hands over their ears and scream at the top of their voices. Well, does that seem a little childish? I mean, doesn't it? La, 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 la. I mean, that's what they're doing. But it's not all they're doing. While they're doing this, they rush at Stephen, they drag him off, and they start killing him. Now, how did he look before he started speaking? Verse 15 of chapter 6. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. He was glowing. It was supernatural. Do you remember Moses coming down off the mountain and his face shone? There was something supernatural, a supernatural display of God's glory in Stephen. And the problem is people hating God. They hate the truth. They hate the way, they hate the life. The fact of the matter is, our problem is not that we don't know what's right and wrong. Our problem is that we're not right. And so, they drag him out. They begin killing him. Verse 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Many have made much of the fact that Jesus is standing. The Bible speaks of him as seated at the Father's right hand, but for Stephen, he stood up to welcome him. Now, if this is a guy who can work miracles, why not now? If this is a guy through whom the power of God is manifested in supernatural ways, why didn't God do a miracle right then and there in order to completely destroy those folks and spare Stephen? Well, God had another plan. And part of his plan was a young man by the name of Saul, who was a party to Stephen's death, and who was going to be a party to the persecution and death of others. But God had other plans for him. I wouldn't have. Because see, I'm looking at Saul and I'm saying, how could you? But the fact of the matter is, God had plans for Saul. God was going to completely change him, give him new life, and use him to write more of the New Testament than anybody else. Why in the world would God do that? Because it's not about us. God deliberately delights in choosing people we wouldn't choose. Frankly, that's how we got in. Okay? God made us part of his family in order to make it clear that it's not about human ability, human intelligence, human influence, human nobility. It's about God's grace. And so, Stephen, while they were stoning him, prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I would like to believe that if I was being persecuted to death, that would be my response. But it sure wouldn't be my natural response. How did Stephen end up like this? Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. What was being manifested was not Stephen's natural character. It was the character of God. It was the glory of God. It was the same glory that was causing his face to shine. It was the Spirit of God that filled him. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And that is what came out of him as he said, as Jesus did on the cross, don't hold this against them. Don't hold this to their charge. That's not the way we think. That's not the way we feel. That's the way God thinks. That's the way God feels. That's the only reason we can be saved. It's not like, well, you know, there are people like that. No. There's a God like that, and he lives in people and changes us so that increasingly, instead of doing what comes naturally, we do what comes supernaturally. But it's only by his grace. It's not us. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He didn't say it wasn't a sin. Please understand that. Stephen was a great and godly man because God had saved him and changed his heart so that what came out of him was not only the truth, and it was the truth, but it was mercy and grace. He called those people stiff-necked, wicked, unbelieving, disobedient folks, told the truth about their sin, but he didn't want to see him punished for it. He wanted them to find mercy, as he had. And he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He didn't rationalize their behavior. He simply prayed that God would be merciful to them. That is the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.